All right, 7:04. Don't forget Wheel of Kings coming up at 8:30. Here's what we got for the next 2 hours for you. You kidding me? We have Four Down Territory. Lincoln Kennedy is going to come on and talk Raider football at 7:30.
And probably Washington Huskies.
Maybe a little bit. They had a, what, did they win? I don't know. Did they? You got Sean Salisbury coming on at 8 o'clock. Wheel of Kings, Nostra Dumbass, Pick 4. My goodness, that's the next 2 hours. We don't have enough time. Here's what you missed in the first hour of the show.
Rocky was a nice touch.
I have a little bit of news for you.
More available at KHDK.com. Yes.
According to the NBA Twitter account,
uh-oh,
Jimmer Fredette puts up 37
yes!
for the Shanghai Sharks versus the Houston Rockets.
Good for you, Jimmer. And Whitney was over there visiting, too. I saw a picture.
You are such Team Fredette.
Yes. I am 100% Team Fredette.
Whitney.
He's like my own personal Tebow.
My little buddy.
He's my guy. I want to see him do well. I like it when nice people do well. He's nice. He's a nice guy. He's got a nice wife. He's got a nice family.
Yeah, he's not one of those, you know, a-holes.
No, he never hurt anybody. He just wants to play basketball and win. Shoot well. So, good for him.
Yes.
Way to go, Jimmer.
Jimmer
against
Mania.
The Rockets, because we know they play a lot of defense.
Right? Look at him taking over.
I'm just saying.
He's got to rain on your boys' parade over there.
You know, with one hand I giveth, and with one hand I taketh away.
Here's Florida University of Florida's quarterback's father talking about the Raider game yesterday. Well, Jack Del Rio's kid's a starter for Florida, for the Gators. That's why
I did not. Deductive reasoning.
I made it there.
I
figured out what you were doing, but yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's kid. Kid starting for the Gators. There's Jack Del Rio talking about the game and Derek Carr and yet another fourth quarter comeback. And I hate this argument. I'm prefacing it. I hate this subject on Sports Talk Radio, so of course I'm going to ask. You can't say Derek Carr is an elite quarterback, right? But if you were going to...
You know what I can say with fair certainty now?
What?
Joe Flacco is not.
No, you can't. You cannot say that.
Yeah, you just opened it up.
You cannot say that.
But that now you start asking if you
got to
win
a playoff game before you even have that discussion.
Not if you were starting a team because that takes age into account. But if you had to win, and you let's just say you took a team that was like a great team, and then you threw a quarterback onto that team, basically that's the parameters there. How many quarterbacks are you going to take over? Now you're going to take Brady over him.
I mean, you're talking about like in a literal one-off scenario.
I want to see because there are
a lot of guys of equal ability and talent. Oh, over a season.
Talk about a season. Who are we talking about? Brady, Roethlisberger. Do you take Flacco over Carr right now?
No.
Probably not.
Okay.
But again, like you've got
Andy
a
Dalton?
Guy that's got the experience in the big games. Like we don't know
sure.
that Derek Carr isn't still Andy Dalton.
Do you take Andrew Luck over Derek Carr?
Not right now. I hate saying that.
Okay.
I mean, that doesn't seem right, but I probably would.
I probably would,
but geez, man, Derek Carr is hands down playing better.
Yes.
I'll say this about Derek Carr. He thrives in stressful situations, like when the game is on the line. He's done a really good job in his career doing that. And when you look at the stats for this game, and you don't know the score, if you just don't look at the score, you would think that the Ravens won this game. They dominated most statistical categories. They had possession of the ball more. They had way more first downs. They had way more passing yards. I mean, like, you can go down the list. But that final drive by the Raiders, it was so quick. It was so precise. And Michael Crabtree was just, like...
He catches everything.
He catches everyone.
Oh, my God. He was just so good.
Jim Harbaugh took a lot of heat a few years ago because he said Michael Crabtree's got the best hands I've ever seen. And people are like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. You're Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And no. Like, the guy has some of the best hands that have ever existed in football.
And
doesn't
he just
make
does
him
a
the best
great job
ever, but,
at getting first downs for them, too.
And, he's really sneaky after the catch because that's where it's kind of tricky with him. He doesn't have, like, elite top-end speed.
Right.
He's not
going
to, you know, dust guys to the end zone. But he's kind of got that a little bit of that Jerry Rice thing going where he gets the ball and it's like everything slows down around him. And suddenly he's able to worm his way into a little hole and burst past a guy. And before you know it, he's picked up some yards after the catch. He's gotten you a first down. He's phenomenal.
You don't want to get too.
How about Khalil Mack?
You don't want to get too crazy, by the way. I was going to finish on that. And yes, but we've talked about it before. He's very much Anquan Boldin-y.
Uh-huh.
That's who... I see when I'm seeing how Michael Crabtree performs, and I guess the question now is, You look at Cooper and Crabtree. Crabtree's been targeted 37 times this year. He's caught the ball 26 times. 308 yards and 4 touchdowns. Amari Cooper has been targeted 35 times. Caught 20 of those passes for 318 yards, 10 yards more, and 0 touchdowns. So at this point, are we ready to say that Michael Crabtree, right now, right this second, Michael Crabtree is the best receiver on the Raiders?
I don't know about best, but he's the number one. I think, frankly, Amari Cooper has been kind of disappointing this season.
I agree.
Because for every big play he comes up with that reminds you of how talented he is, there's a big drop. Yep. Or, you know, Carr, obviously, to me, has more confidence in Michael Crabtree.
He does. In defense of Amari Cooper, though, our defense is focusing on him more, number one.
Probably.
Number two, he has almost exactly twice the amount of yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm. We'll see, too, with that, because the fact that Crabtree has been so phenomenal in the first 4 weeks, we'll see if that changes in terms of how they defend Cooper versus Crabtree.
Right. You talk about those yards after the catch for Cooper. Yeah. That's the biggest part, because they've got to get him the ball on short passes in space.
Sure.
Because he hasn't really shown that he can be a consistent deep threat or a consistent move the chains possession type of receiver either. So he's still an explosive athlete with the ball in his hands, but you know, Crabtree is just so much more reliable. And it really wasn't that long ago that Michael Crabtree was Amari Cooper coming out of the draft.
Right.
Surefire, can't miss prospect. He goes to a place in the 49ers that's really run heavy and aren't asking him to do a lot of things. He's finally in an offense that plays to his strengths.
You remember Al Davis getting all that garbage, and rightfully so, for grabbing Darius Hayward Bay over Michael Crabtree. Crabtree falling to the 49ers, and then it just happens to turn out Crabtree goes back and ends up at the Raiders. And to your point, Katie, we got a break. We'll pick it up later. But yes, Khalil Mack finally got loose.
It's like you get the first one out of the way.
They did a great job on Joe Flacco yesterday. A lot more Raider talk coming up in the program when we return. 4 Down Territory next. We'll go around the league, including our locals. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Greg Popa with the final call. Right here last night on KHTK, I should say yesterday afternoon. Guys, are the Raiders for real, or do Raider fans like me need to slow down a bit?
Yes.
both.
Yeah, really. The Raiders are for real.
Fence sitters.
They're very much for real. I do think they are a legitimate playoff contender. But to back it up a little bit, and I say this with love, they haven't exactly had the toughest schedule yet. I mean, they have gone on the road 3 times and won. And anytime you go to the East Coast or New Orleans, it's tough. And these are things we're not used to seeing the Raiders do. They've still got to go to Tampa Bay and Jacksonville back-to-back. I imagine Del Rio will keep them out there. They've got a game with the Chiefs at home. I it's almost like you have to wait until November 6th when they take on the Broncos in Oakland to really get a true measuring stick. Look at the schedule. Saints, Falcons, Titans, Ravens, Chargers, Chiefs, Jags, Buccaneers. Do we honestly think, with the exception of maybe the Ravens, who are we talked about, could be paper tigers, any of those teams are making the playoffs?
Falcons are going to win that division,
You think so? Yeah, they might. No, you're right.
No, the Falcons are legit,
The Falcons actually have had a cut. So, I don't know.
It's
the first time since, 2000, since they've won their first 3 road games. And that's difficult to go from west to east. It's not like they were close. They didn't go to Seattle. They weren't in San Diego. No, they traveled. So you have to give them credit for that. I do think it's a little early to get way. I was actually looking at, week 6 when they play the Chiefs, and I thought that would be a telling game, but then the Chiefs got routed yesterday. So I don't know. I think that the stars are aligning for them, but don't get too ahead of yourself.
And calm down, Raider fan on the text line. We mentioned the 3 East Coast ones. Nobody's saying the Raiders suck and are fake. It's just hold off on the Super Bowl ring is all.
The Raiders are very much for real. There's a pretty simple formula when it comes to success in professional sports. You protect at home, you split on the road. The Raiders have already almost split on the road. They've already almost clinched that. They've had 3. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is get 4 wins on the road, protect your home, and you're looking at a 10-win season. That's it. They're already there. They've done it. I mean, they got to finish it out. There's a long season, but they're for real, man.
So much for your Raider Dave hashtag.
Hey, man. It's my job. You know... A little bit on that. I had to know. He threw that out there. It was my turn to tweet for the station account for the Raiders. So everyone relax. Still a Niners guy. Was doing my job, Matt.
He's jumping ship. According to Chip Kelly, that was the only bad pass that Blaine Gabbert threw yesterday. I'll take that with a grain of salt. The Niners lose again.
Get to the question.
Bowman out. Is it time for Kaepernick or does it matter?
Yes, it's time. I know people hate him for various reasons, but you can't tell me that Blaine Gabbert is getting it done. He throws a horrible ball. He makes bad decisions. He's going to be done. It's not even going to be a decision that Chip Kelly has to make. If he keeps running like he does, like a moron, he's going to get hurt and Kaepernick's going to come in.
I think you wait till the bye week, just for, I mean, it's time for him, but you got to wait a couple more weeks just because we talked about this before. What happens if you go there and he starts to suck? You can't go back to Blaine Gabbert. Then what is it, Christian Ponder? You get a couple games with him. You have to do it at a point where you know you're not going to have to go back to Blaine Gabbert. Give it a little bit longer. And to answer the second question, no, it doesn't matter, especially not without Navarro Bowman.
So you're giving him, obviously you don't make the change this week because you have a short week, Cardinals coming in.
Oh, very short.
You're giving him three more games, Cardinals, then they go to Buffalo, then they come back home against Tampa Bay. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's probably around the right time.
Whatever, Kaepernick, you were wrong.
Kaepernick may not want it to happen yesterday. Right.
But
Kaepernick may not, and is, well, listen, he's not the savior. But the whole thing is, if you're going to be horrible, at least be horrible with the guy you're paying $20 million to.
Maybe.
You know?
There's that.
That's a good story.
That call courtesy of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Did the Bills shutting out the Pats tell you more about Buffalo or New England?
I know everything I need to know about Buffalo because Rex Ryan's their head coach. They're going to disappoint and fail miserably late in the season. It's more about New England because Tom Brady's not a system quarterback, you guys. Like that Brissett. He sucked, man. That's the first time they've been shut out at Gillette Stadium in how long? I mean, it didn't tell me that they're going to fail because as soon as
Gronkowski was four years old, by the way.
Okay.
For real.
As soon as Tom Brady comes back, which is the next game, they're going to be just fine. But I thought it was important to note that not just anyone can step in and kick ass for the Patriots.
I'm certainly not going to get on the Rex Ryan bandwagon when they're 2-2. And I agree with what you're saying about Rex Ryan, but I have to give credit to him and the Bills. These are two wins against the Cardinals and now the Patriots. And yeah, the Cardinals told us a little something the other day, but it's not like the Patriots haven't played some pretty decent teams this year. For Rex Ryan, in a situation where he know that everything's circling, the media is there, people are talking, get fired, and he reels off after losing to the Ravens and Jets. They lost to the Jets by six, by the way. That was a close game. Lost to the Ravens by six. That was a close game. And then he reels off two wins with the Cardinals and at Patriots. That you can't deny that performance. It's an excellent performance, and I give him credit for at least for now keeping that locker room together.
Well, we know who New England is. We knew they were going to be without Tom Brady for four games. No one expected them, I think, to go 3-1. They thought that would be pretty great. And they especially didn't expect it to be with two of those games coming from your third string quarterback. So this one tells me more about the Bills because they've got to win against the Cardinals. They've now beat the Patriots. I don't care who they've got behind center because that is a fantastic team. And defensively, they were really, really good last week especially. But, you know, Dave, you mentioned the close games. They held the Ravens, who's a very high-powered offense, to 13 points. They, you know, allow the Jets to score 37, but it was also a close game. I think that the Bills are actually making steps and surprising people, especially under pressure.
Vikings and Giants, Monday Night Football. Who you got?
Well, this is a weird NFL season, so nothing's for sure. But I don't see how the Vikings don't absolutely tear up Eli Manning and the Giants. That defense is on fire. And Stephon Diggs, after just being damn near shut out in the last game against the Packers, has got to perform tonight, mainly because if he catches one touchdown, I come from behind in two of my three fantasy leagues. So that's important. And because of that, I'll take the Vikings.
Yeah, man, I have to take the Vikings. They're just too good right now. They have two very quality wins against the Packers and the Panthers. To me, the Giants are not even in the same league as them, in my opinion. And I don't care who's injured. I actually think they're a little bit better without Adrian Peterson because they're spreading up their run game a little bit more. They're not relying on him as much. I'm surprised at what they've been able to do with the injury concerns when it comes to the quarterback situation. I'm just impressed by this team, and I don't see them losing to the Giants.
Yeah, their defense is nails, and it's prime time at home. And, I mean, this isn't the old baggy dome anymore, but this new joint they've got is pretty darn loud. The Giants don't stand a chance.
All right, we will take a break. Come back with Lincoln Kennedy talking Raider football. And yes, as Nate said earlier, I have a feeling we'll We'll hear about a Husky and a tree and a ball game on Friday night from his alma mater. It's Lincoln Kennedy next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Lincoln Kennedy joining us in a few moments. Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival. It's coming this month, October 22nd and 23rd, Discovery Park. Tool Slayer Event, Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets on sale now. More info at aftershockconcert.com. In today's Monday edition of Awesome Color Analysts, we have a couple of we have a couple of choices here for you. Let's start with and we always like to point out that analysts like to jump on, especially in college, a little bit in the NFL. Here's Clemson's big stop over the weekend in Louisville or on Louisville. Huge win for Clemson against Louisville. Big stop at the end. Notice. The analyst kept completely quiet.
Nice, that clean call there.
Very clean call. Here is, oh, it hurts. Here's North Carolina. They had a 54-yard field goal to win against Florida State at Doak Campbell Stadium. Here's a Carolina call. All right, so that was okay. I mean,
famous rallying cry. How about them Tar Heels?
They do it.
A little bit of excitement. Here's an interception, a phenomenal interception to wrap up Michigan's win over Wisconsin. Oh, there you go.
Which one was better, not that now, or Charles Woodson?
Not now.
That's a good.
You know, so I used to do college basketball for ESPN as well when I was here with the Kings before. I will say it is difficult when you don't work with the same analyst every week, but these guys are working with the same play-by-play person. When you don't have the same team week in and week out, it's hard to get into a flow, but these guys should know better.
We always get in a flow with Lincoln Kennedy, who, let's be honest, if Lincoln Kennedy is not in a good mood today, and he's generally in a good mood, then there's something wrong with Lincoln Kennedy, because damn, did he have a fine, fine weekend. Joining us as he does every week, there you are, Lincoln.
Hello.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube, JiffyLubeCA.com. Valuable coupons, online serving Sacramento for over 30 years. Check them out again at JiffyLubeCA.com. Hello, Lincoln, and what a weekend it was for you.
Yes, it was. Good morning to you all. I'm happy to be with you.
Yeah, it was, let's see, let's start out on Friday. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, despite the fact that you were on the sideline, but the Washington Huskies took on the Stanford Trees on Friday up in Washington, and looks like the result went your way.
Yeah, you know what, I heard some things about it. I didn't really get it. I was out there enjoying the weather in Seattle that day, but yeah, I heard that happened. I was, you know, in all seriousness, particularly pleased the way that the Dogs played. I didn't see that coming. Stanford looked a little banged up to me. Well, a lot banged up. Didn't seem like the same Stanford that we've come to know and appreciate over the past couple of years. But very thoroughly impressed by the Dogs' victory on Friday night.
Well, they did such a phenomenal job bottling up Christian McCaffrey. I knew that they had some playmakers on offense, and I knew there were some studs on defense, but I didn't know that that defensive line was just going to be able to work the trenches like that all night.
You know, what's interesting about that defensive line is it's basically a number of what we deem in the industry as defensive tackles. And these big guys from Elijah Coles and Gaines and those guys, they can really push the pocket. You have a number of defensive tackles that take up the line of scrimmage that are what we call block eaters, prevent offensive linemen or other people to get up to the linebackers. And then you have, you know, Azeem Victor and those guys, the linebacking corps, speedy, running sideline to sideline. So it's a good chemistry for a defense that's played very well so far.
Well, it kind of reminded me too, Lincoln, of the way that teams used to defend Reggie Bush, where I remember at one point just saying you have to treat every play like it's a kickoff or a punt and stay in your lanes and just wait for contain. And they just did a great job of that.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, what I noticed is they assigned Buda Baker to follow Christian McCaffrey wherever he went. So he was like a spy on him. And then, of course, everybody corralled. But going into the game, I told all the people, you know, all the Husky fans and everybody I talked to in interviews up to it, I said, if they have a plan for number five, they have a chance. And obviously they had a plan and it worked to their, you know, worked to their advantage. And more importantly, just the number of points they scored on Stanford's defense, they totally controlled that first half. Dropped a little bit down in the second half, but still, when Stanford showed any signs of life, they quickly came back and kept the foot on the throttle.
So here's the thing, Lincoln, last thing on college football, the real interesting question for you guys, and you never know where rankings are going to go, but let's be honest, Washington doesn't play anybody really the rest of the year. They might have the Pac-12 game, but But you've got a, you got at least an AP top 25. Four teams get in, as you know. You've got four teams ahead of you. So Michigan and Ohio State are going to play each other. That leaves Alabama and Clemson, assuming they win out. I feel like, and we got a long way to go, but there's going to be something to be said between you guys and Houston. That's going to end up being an argument as we continue the rest of the year.
Very true. I mean, very, very true words. What I came into this game, I was a little conflicted because as a Pac-12 analyst, I knew Stanford really gave us the best chance to have someone from the Pac-12 participate in the BCS playoff. Now, we're Washington final, and you're absolutely right with their record and the way, and of course, the way the polls reacted to them when they barely beat Arizona, how they dropped back a little bit, always comes into view. I'm concerned about it because I still don't think that Washington is going to go through the conference unscathed. I don't know who they're going to lose to, but I think the quality of competition in the Pac-12 conference, the nine game roundabout, you know, rounded thing that the teams have to play, I think Washington might drop a game. I still I do that. I hold that wholeheartedly. So I don't know if they'll actually get representation in the BCS playoff game because of it.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning on KHDK. Now, Lincoln, I'm going to transition to some NFL action here. And obviously, the Raiders go in on the road, get a win over an undefeated Ravens team. And it was a great game and what they were able to do specifically in the fourth quarter. But I want you to answer a true or false question for me, because we were talking about this last week. Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback in the NFL? Because he was part of this. There was, what, five teams that going into the week were undefeated, and they were one of them, but no one was talking about him.
Is he an elite quarterback? I believe he's an elite quarterback. I believe he's one of the better ones, so true, yes.
Yeah, and a why? You got to – well, I mean, what makes him elite to you?
You look at his past resume, look at what he's done. He's got a – usually he's got a very good long ball and an accurate arm. I think what has affected him – now, I mean, we're also going off of past records. We're not just going off of what he did this year, what he's accomplished. But now when you watch him, I mean, you watch yesterday, the pressure got to him both physically and mentally. His inability to move around the pocket causes him to look now more down at the rush than downfield and throw and try to attempt to throw passes on an uneven base. So that didn't necessarily work to his advantage, if you know what I mean.
Lincoln, I'm kind of curious, you know, when you look at, I feel like the defenses still treat Amari Cooper as though he's the number one receiver, but Michael Crabtree very clearly has emerged as, to me anyway, Derek Carr's go-to guy. Is that the case? Like, is Michael Crabtree the number one, and have defenses started to react to that yet?
No, they still view Amari Cooper as number one. And if you're an offense, that's exactly what you want. You want that dual threat. You want that ability to keep defenses off on their toes. Look, the fact is that when Amari is out there, you've got teams that are generally either going to try to double him or play him physically to take him out. So you've got to have somebody stand up, someone else stand up. Because they haven't really established a tight end, there's a weakness there. Seth Roberts and Michael Crabtree came through huge yesterday, mainly because of catches and, of course, the touchdowns. But, you know, this is something that the Raiders knew they had. It's not often exploited, but it's there when you need to. And it's funny how Derek Carr looks to Crabtree when he absolutely needs it to get it done. It's a chemistry that a lot of people don't talk about, but they soon will after this game.
Lincoln, we asked a question earlier. It was a two-parter. Number one, are the Raiders for real? And I think we all agree, yes, they're for real. Secondly, with games against the Saints, Falcons, Titans, and Ravens, and you can only play the schedule, three of those on the East Coast and New Orleans, of course, is it possible the Raiders – should Raider fans pull back a little bit? I know they should get excited, but have we really seen the Raiders have a true test yet?
No. No, the true test came in the fact that, you know, historically, well, at least for the last decade, it's changed. This team has struggled when they've gone the East Coast, they've gone on the road. They seem to overcome that. Now, if you consider what the Falcons have done, not only since we've played them, look at their record, look how many points they're scoring. Now it makes the Raiders look that much better because the Raiders only lost that game by seven, even though they gave up a ton of yards. The defense has played better. And of course, going back 2 weeks in a row, East Coast games, coming away with both wins shows you that the Raiders, they're for real. They're legit.
Our guy Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning, as he does every Monday morning here on KHTK. Now, Lincoln, we've got a month of the season in the books for the Raiders. What for you is the most surprising aspect of this team, and what is the most troublesome at this point?
Well, I would say the most troublesome, other than the obvious, because I think the defense has gotten better over the last couple of weeks, the injuries is the most troublesome, because the injuries, especially to the tight end core and what we've seen in the linebacker core, I think are going to hurt the Raiders, especially when they play somebody good. You know, as far as the most surprising thing, I mean, looking into the season when I started, I think I came into this month after month of football saying that we were going to be probably 2-2, not really knowing what product we were going to see on the field. But I'm thoroughly pleased with the progress of Derek Carr, his calmness, especially in the second half. Now, we may mention on our telecast that he, in the early parts of the game, he's a little overly amped, a little too anxious, and he needs to calm down. He's quick to get rid of the ball, but much to his favor, as the game progresses on, that sort of anxiety kind of dies down, and he plays a lot better. So, really thoroughly pleased with his leadership and his ability, what he's shown over this past month of football.
Lincoln Kennedy with us on KHDK. Lincoln, at 3-1, I mean, there are obviously a lot of positives. Winning's the great deodorant, you know all that stuff. But if you were to fill in the blank of the sentence, the Raiders are 3-1 in spite of the fact that, what would that thing be?
Their defense gave up almost 500 yards a game.
Lincoln, speaking of that defense has been helped quite a bit. Well, I won't say quite a bit. It's been nice to see Carl Joseph on the field the last couple of weeks. I think he's held his own. You've gotten contributions from both Jihad Ward and DeAndre Washington. You know, we forget about it because we're in the season, but how great is Reggie McKenzie, and how great has he been at really being the architect of this team, and now you're seeing it play out on the field?
It was just a few years ago when I first got the gig with the Raiders Radio Network. Dennis Allen was the head coach. People were calling for Reggie's job because the Raiders just had not turned the corner. And where I knew when I got the gig that Dennis Allen wasn't going to be the man for very long. I thought Reggie was doing an all right job dealing with his philosophy and understanding, knowing Reggie personally, knowing that he doesn't want to overpay for guys or wasn't going to just go get guys because they had the money, they had the ability. He'd much rather take a fine. I believed in that ideology. I believed in that philosophy. So I thought that Reggie was going to do a good job, but it hadn't panned out. I mean, it had DJ Hayden, and that hadn't turned over or came to fruition how good he was going to be. He finally had one of his best games that I can remember yesterday, just in his tackling ability and being in the right place at the right time. Now, he made a couple critical mistakes, but it wasn't nothing that overly cost him. And so I thought DJ had a great game. You look at the draft choices that Reggie McKenzie and his staff have picked, you look how they've contributed to this team. Now you've got a solid foundation for years to come. And that's something that the Raiders hadn't had for a while. So that's why you have to take advantage of this window, because in 2-3 years, you're not going to be able to keep everybody together. Somebody's going to go. They drafted that well, and they've got some good players, and it's proved big for the team right now.
Week 5 for the Raiders, Lincoln, puts them up against a very high-powered offensive team in the Chargers. They're averaging 30 points a game. The Raiders, obviously, very high-powered offense, too, at 27. However, their only loss this season came to Atlanta, who is the top offense right now in the NFL. How concerned should you be about Week 5 playing the Chargers with the Raiders' defense as it is now?
Oh, it's Phillip Rivers. You're always concerned. There's no doubt about it. What's interesting is the fact that they lose two of their offensive stars, and the Chargers are still able to put up a number of points. They got into an all-out shootout yesterday with New Orleans, and I expect the same thing to happen this Sunday when they come here to play the Raiders.
Yeah, I swear, Lincoln, the Chargers seem like they lose that way every week, where somehow or another, I mean, doesn't it, like, Phillip Rivers limps his way to the second-to-last score, and then their defense falls apart?
Yeah. I mean, that's generally how it is. I mean, Phillip Rivers has put up some, you know, tremendous numbers. We had the conversation on the road yesterday with some of my coworkers that look at Drew Brees' number, not just jump off the top, but look at Drew Brees' number coming into yesterday's game. He had, I believe, 8 touchdowns, one interception over 1,000 yards. If the Saints had a winning record, they would be talking about Drew Brees for MVP. The same thing could be said about Phillip Rivers, especially what he did last year. If they had a winning record, you would talk about MVP. I don't know what to make of, you know, the ability of a team that is as dangerous offensively as that. I kind of equate it to the college football field as somebody like Wazoo or Cal, where they might as well concede, giving up a plethora of points on defense, just as long as they can outscore you. And if you like offensive football, then you'll watch, you'll enjoy a San Diego Charger or a Cal football game.
I don't want to get too crazy on the Raiders defense. They gave up 27 points last night. However, it seems over the last couple of weeks, it has been a different defense. It has been a more active defense. You're seeing guys like Reggie Nelson and Sean Smith, and obviously Khalil Mack yesterday getting loose. David Amerson, despite the fact that Steve Smith made him wear a carpet yesterday when he tried to tackle him. It's been a more active defense. Lincoln, is that more matchups, or is that more something clicked in the locker room?
No, that's scheme. Yeah. They called it more active. They blitzed a lot more in these last two games than they've done because they had to apply pressure on the quarterback. More importantly, they moved Khalil Mack and Irvin around to where you could try to utilize their speed a little bit more and their power and run more effective games. But I tell you what, somebody's not getting some credit who should is Danico Autry. Danico Autry has played extremely well at that five position, that three position, at defensive tackle. And he has come on to really aid this front. I said a few weeks ago that whoever has one-on-one matchups has got to win that one-on-one matchups. And I saw Danico Autry win a number of one-on-one matchups yesterday in the game, and he's proved big for this defense.
Lincoln, I'm kind of curious, schematically speaking, you mentioned that the Raiders blitzed a lot more this week. I'm curious, what is their bread and butter as far as the scheme? What do they like to do to teams offensively?
What they would like to offensively or defensively?
The opposing offense. What do they want to force them into?
Ideally, they would like to only rush four and be able to play seven and man combination scheme, color coverage schemes on the backside. Ideally, they would, but that was in the first two games. They didn't get any pressure, so they had to ramp it up. Now that they've blitzed, they're forcing offenses to do one-on-one matchups against their notable guys like Khalil Mack and stuff like that, or you have even less guys going out to possibly receive the pass. So their sort of philosophy has changed because the first wave that they did it in the first couple of weeks wasn't getting it done.
And I'd imagine, too, that plays into the strengths more of a guy like Sean Smith when you can get that pressure right away and have him in man coverage and have him just kind of lock down like a 10-yard box as opposed to trying to keep up with Brandon Cooks.
Well, that's exactly right. But important, what's even more important for Sean Smith is that when you be that aggressive, you've got to get your hand on the receiver and disrupt the route. You cannot allow him to have a clean release or you're chasing him. And we don't have the safety speed out there to go sideline to sideline as many people think. So when you're playing that sort of press style of defense and like the Richard Shermans and other aggressive corners do, you got to make sure you get your hand on and disrupt the timing of their route.
Lincoln, I'm sure you could have had a better weekend, but that's a little tough. Raiders in Baltimore, your Dogs win at home against Stanford, just annihilate them. You got to go play the lotto or something today.
I wish it were that simple. I'm honest with you. I do think it's been far few between that I've been this happy at the end of a weekend. But it is a good feeling. It's a rewarding feeling.
Appreciate your time. Obviously, you'll be on with Grant later in the week on The Nation. We'll talk to you next Monday. Always appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
All right. Take care. That is Lincoln Kennedy joining us.
Lincoln Kennedy is 6'11" and 340 pounds and played 11 seasons in the NFL.
6'11"?
He's 6'11"?
That's what he's listed at. I'm telling you, the guy already won the lottery.
God, I could have sworn I'd met him before. Does that seem right to you?
That doesn't seem quite right.
Doesn't seem right to me.
But he's a big human.
Yes. Yes, he is. Lincoln Kennedy is
6'6". Depends on your listing.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a little bit of a difference.
He's 6'11 in heels.
Whatever.
That's Lincoln Kennedy brought to you by our good friends at Jiffy Lube. JiffyLubeCA.com for valuable coupons online. Serving Sacramento for over 30 years and serving you, the listener, by bringing you guys like Lincoln Kennedy. Sean Salisbury, he joins us next. Stay tuned. We continue with football to Football Monday. And don't forget, Wheel of Kings at 8:30. Ooh, The Drive, Sports 1140, KHTK.